supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
And then there were 79. Let's celebrate Jupiter's growing family with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, this is a big family for sure.
When I was an elementary school student, I remember that we were learning that Jupiter had 9 moons and Saturn had 12. And that was amazing because the moon was our only satellite. Mars had 2. So for these two planets to have so many at that time was truly amazing. However, with the advent of the Voyager spacecraft doing their close approach flybys in the 1970s and 80s, we learned that there were many, many more moons and rings as well for Saturn and for Jupiter, a ring, actually. And so what we were seeing was that you could count smaller and smaller and smaller objects in orbit around those planets. And then it was a question of how small did you want to measure an object to count it as a moon? This latest edition of moons certainly has some interesting quirks to it. 9 of those newly discovered 12 orbit around the planet in the opposite direction of the planet's rotation.
Is that a sign that they were captured from somewhere else?
It certainly is an indication that there was some squirrely dynamics going on in the early history of the solar system. As to captured, we don't know that yet, can't answer that yet. But if you continue to look a little further, what you find is that the last 3 of those in that group of 12 orbit around the planet in a prograde direction, going with the rotation. Let's make it even squirrelier than that. 1 of those 3 orbits around in a prograde direction with the rotation, but its orbit cuts across the path of those 9 that orbit in the opposite direction.
Who plays traffic cop on Jupiter?
I don't know, but they're going to have a real problem on their hands at some point in the future. I mean, you could say that up until now, nothing has happened. There's been no collision of these. But at some point, it seems inevitable that there will be a collision between that 1 and those other 9 simply because of the fact it's almost like you're driving a car against the flow of traffic on a 9-lane highway and you're trying to cross from one side of the highway to the other side of the highway.
Why do Jupiter and Saturn have so many moons, or is it more appropriate to wonder why we only have 1?
Well, it's probably more appropriate to wonder why we only have 1, or to even wonder why Mercury and Venus have no moons at all. It seems as if the way in which planets ought to go is that they have moons. Uranus has 27 moons. Neptune has 13 moons. We know that Pluto has 5 moons, I think it is. And so it seems that would be a normal feature of planets to have moons. One thing we can point to for sure is that the gas giants of the solar system, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, have the gravitational wherewithal to pull more material toward them in orbit around them. So as the solar system is forming, all of the hunks of dirt and trash hanging around at the beginning of the solar system can get pulled into orbits around these larger ones.
So stars ought to have planets. Planets ought to have moons. It's getting awful crowded around here. What's the count in our solar system?
Well, we're up to 175 right now, but that number could still grow because we haven't fully investigated all of the possibility of moons for either Jupiter or Saturn. There could be more. And that's just looking at what we would think of as the known planets. Once the definition for planet becomes settled, it may be that we have to look at those outer objects that are being considered as being brought into the fold of planets that could run the number all the way up to as many as 110 planets in our solar system, depending how you define planet. And then we have to think about the possibility of moons that could be orbiting those objects as well. So there's a lot more to discover here.
With clear skies this week, what portion of that inventory is available to be seen?
Most prominent among that count is the brilliant planet Venus. 30 to 40 minutes after sunset, you can see it over on the western horizon without any difficulty at all, glowing brilliantly. If we turn a little bit to our left and look toward the south, we'll see the largest planet of the solar system, Jupiter. If we turn a little bit further to the left toward the east, we'll see Saturn glowing a little bit less bright than Jupiter, but still identifiable because, like Jupiter and Venus, it has no twinkle. And then even further over to the east, now rising by midnight, well above the eastern horizon by midnight, is the reddish planet Mars. Now, these four planets together, if you can manage to see them all together at one time, meaning that Venus is just above the western horizon, Mars is just above the eastern horizon, you'll notice they stretch a line right across the sky. This is the perfect opportunity to be able to identify these planets in a line without any problem. And you'll even be aided by the fact that the moon rides among these planets in such a way that you can use the moon to identify them. Coming up tomorrow night, you'll be able to see Saturn just below the moon, so you can't miss that. And then the moon will be close to Mars on July 27th. So if you have had any difficulty identifying Saturn and Mars because they're either distant or not up early enough, these two dates will give you a chance to match them with the moon. And next month, the moon will slide among these planets as well. But don't tarry, because they are also in motion around the sun and won't be with us all the way through the summer and on into the fall and winter.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.